Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
Well, I'd like for you to turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version tonight. I came in from a funeral, and I didn't have my large print New King James Version. So I had to pull out my King James Version, this large print, so I can see it. So John 14, we're going to begin reading with verse 15. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Just go down to verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. If you love me, notice again, keep my commandments. That's very great, incredible how that, well, in what we read tonight, how that begins, because having a heart of obedience is central to our Christian walk. He called us to follow him. He's called us out. He said, follow me in Matthew 4:19, and I will make you, I will transform you, I will make you into a fisher of men. I'll make you a man catcher. Spiritually speaking, he's speaking to all humankind, all humanity. God desires that we be used for the purpose of evangelizing this world and reaching this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The late Dr. E.V. Hill, he preached a message one time years ago called His Answer Is Us. He has reached you and I so that we will reach someone else. You and I have been saved so that we can go out with the salvation message to someone else. He has extended grace toward us so that we can share that grace with a lost and dying world. We're to be an extension of him. The scripture says Jesus is the light of the world. But he tells us that we need to be the light of Jesus to this world. We're to be change agents in this world. We're to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're to be living epistles, meaning that we're to live out the the cause of Christ so that when people see us, they see there's something different about us. We're to be followers of Jesus. So he said, follow me, follow me. And when we follow him, following him is desiring to live a life of obedience to him. And we find his word, his written word, and what he desires for us to do. And so I want to share in these moments that we have here tonight, here concerning the Holy Spirit. Because whatever you and I do, we need his help. And what's incredible is that God called us, he calls us out. Jesus called his disciples. But he's saying, not only have I called you to follow me, but I'm going to help you do it. That's the incredible thing about God. He doesn't just, hey man, you follow me, you're on your own. If you don't work out, forget you. That's not him. He desires to help us. The same thing in our praying. In our praying, we know that we are to pray, and then in the teachings of the Apostle Paul, he talks about how that he helps us in our praying. The Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers and in our praying. And so I just want to speak to this tonight. A teacher, a Bible teacher named John Piper, he said on this particular subject and thinking about the Holy Spirit, he said he couldn't help but think about the world in which we live and the battles of life, the difficulties of life, and spiritual warfare. It's interesting, Pastor Jonathan's teaching on spiritual warfare tonight in North Carolina to a congregation. But in looking at this subject of the Holy Spirit, you and I need to understand that we are in a battle. Whether we recognize, whether we think about it like that or not, in this world, we're in a spiritual battle. That's just the reality of it. And I heard a great missionary, Hugh Skelton, say this many years ago in a youth camp, actually, probably when I was a teenager. He said those very words. He said, a lot of people they're in a war, but they don't even know it. We sometimes look at this happening and that happening, and we can just kind of think, well, that's just the way things are. But no, it's a spiritual battle, because the enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it the more abundantly. And so the enemy is constantly fighting against God's purposes in this world. But what we remind him of today is that God is greater than anything that the enemy can throw at your life. He's greater than all of those things. Jesus is not in an arm wrestling match with the devil. The enemy's battling us. He has no shot against Jesus. In fact, Jesus died on the cross. He willingly gave his life. At any moment, he could have called down every angel needed to stop anything that was happening against him at the cross. But no, he willingly sacrificed his life for our sake. That's what we got to keep in mind here. But the thing is, the enemy, The enemy wants us to engage in sin. He wants to keep us under the cloud of sin. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So we're in a battle. But what I'm really getting at here tonight is that the Lord loves us so much that not only does He save us from our sins so that when life is over with, that we will have eternal life with Him and our sins are washed away by His shed blood on the cross, but for the battles of this life, the Holy Spirit, He is our helper, He's our comforter, He is our guide, and He wants to be with us in every moment and every situation of life. It's a beautiful thing. And so we want God in our life, moving and in our life. But there's a war going on. And so we need to engage in this battle, not alone and just to struggle through life, but to recognize we have a comforter with us. We have a helper that wants to be with us all along the journey. Instead of us just getting in a pickle somewhere and then just in bad, listen, I don't know what I'm going to do now. No, He wants us every day to live in the fullness of the Spirit, to call upon the Lord and to lean upon the Holy Spirit of God. And so I want us just to look at the Holy Spirit for just a moment tonight and to look a little deeper in this particular subject. My desire is, and prayer is, that we not just learn something about the Holy Spirit, but that we come to know Him and understand Him and love Him and enjoy and be awakened by Him and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And to understand that there are strategies of God to win in the battle against with the enemy. We're victorious through and by God Himself. So when the Scripture says, "Greater is He that is within you than he that's in the world," that's in the context of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's in the context of the power of God's Word. That's in the context of one who is following Jesus. I just want to make that to be clear to us. Because sometimes there'll be people who will claim the promise of God or desire to claim the promise of God, but don't follow God's plan. You know what I'm talking about? That we want to say, we're not even following the Lord. And then all of a sudden, we want to claim a scripture. Well, listen, the reason it's a conditional thing. Listen, I've mentioned it on Sunday. Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Notice that. He's saying all these things will be added to you, but you have to seek Him first. So the promises of God are yea and amen for a believer, but you can't just live any way not putting Him first and anticipate that everything's going to be added to you. Because that's not what it says. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So it's a matter of priorities. Again, we need to make Him the priority of our life. Lord, be first in my life. Lord, I want to live a life of obedience. I can't help but think about Jesus as His family, His mother and siblings desire, they want to talk to Jesus. Jesus is in a crowded room. He's ministering to people, and they're in a crowded room. They can't get to Him. And disciple comes up to him and says, "Your family wants to talk to you." He said, "Who is my mama and my words, siblings, but they that do the will of the Father?" You see, he's desiring that we follow him, and then it really opens up the working of the promises of God and all that he desires to do within our life. So I want to tell you that being a Christian is about following Jesus. And it's about following him. That's what being a Christian is. It's not saying I just go to church. That's not what Christianity is. True Christianity, true discipleship is following Jesus. And a part of the following Jesus, certainly the church, according to the scriptures, is a vital part of that. So sometimes people jump through. They'll jump past things, and they'll say, "Well, I can be a Christian, and I don't need to go to church. Or I can be a Christian. He just saved me. I know I don't read the Bible that much, but he saved me, and I'm leaning on his grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace." Yes, we all are sinners saved by grace, but he desires that we follow him and be obedient to him. But the great news is we have the Holy Spirit to help us, the Comforter to help us in all that we are to be about. And may God indeed help us in that. And so I want, there's really two essential truths that I want to share tonight about the Holy Spirit. Because the spiritual warfare of life is meant to be won. It's meant to be won. When we sing Victory in Jesus, I think we should be able to sing that or any other song that speaks to the victory that we have in Christ. We need to realize that's a reality. It's not just some mind over matter. It's not just some nicety and just an encouraging word. No, he wants us to live in victory, and has supplied unto us what is necessary as followers if we'll simply obey him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I can't help it. It's a life of, so following him is a life of obedience. I know that's just a simple thought, but so much, I find so many people sometimes they're right in the battle, but yet leave the Lord out. Listen, I've known people to, on a Sunday afternoon, need to talk with a preacher, and they could have been at church and heard the word of God 2 hours beforehand, but sat at home. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not availing yourself to what is scriptural. I'm absolutely convinced that much of what we need happens if we just are obedient in the regular things. We'll find that we're learning and growing, and you might not even have to ask the question. It might have been answered in the teaching. And so again, I want us just to focus on the Holy Spirit is involved in all of this. Everything that I'm saying. The Holy Spirit, this is not a compartmentalized thing. It's not something that's just, I'll take God, I'll take Jesus, but not the Holy Spirit. No. They're a total package. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, all of that Holy Ghost stuff, that scares me. Now listen. It's all, it's who he is. Listen, I would readily tell you, there's a lot, I can read the scriptures and do I understand every detail of what the Bible says concerning the Holy Spirit or God or Jesus? I'm continually learning like you are. But I want to tell you, we need to embrace the operation and gifts and working of the Holy Spirit. They are for the church, to strengthen the church. He is there to empower the church for His purposes. You and I need the Holy Spirit in our life. So may God help us to put aside all the stuff and to realize about what Jesus said. You needed the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's really the first truth I want to share in these two essential truths. And is this. That the Holy Spirit is a person, not an impersonal force. The Holy Spirit is not just some impersonal force. It is not just a higher power. It's not the Holy Spirit is not just something intangible out there that it's not may the force be with you. The Holy Spirit is a person, and when I say person, I mean personality. And we'll see this. The most important passage to support this first truth, it is really the whole chapters 14 through 16 of John. When you read chapters John 14 through 16, there's at least three things in these chapters that confirm that Jesus thinks of the Holy Spirit, what He thinks of the Holy Spirit, and He's not a mere force. So I want you to again look. This is John 14. Look at verse 16. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Now, this is what I want us to do now. I don't care what translation you're reading right now of this verse. I want us to read it out loud. Okay, so whatever the translation you got, I want us to read it out loud at the count of three. And of course, I will be reading King James Version. And I don't want you to read it out loud so you can hear yourself, okay? So I'm not asking you to do it. I just want you to read it out loud so you can hear yourself. So you may have to be pretty loud. I don't know. I got a mic on. 1, 2, 3. "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." When Jesus calls Him a Counselor or Comforter, He treats Him as a person, not a force. Do you see that? He says that I will give you another Comforter, or I'll give you a Counselor. This is personal language. This is personage language. You know that's one of the names for our Lord is Mighty Counselor. We understand the Comforter. And we understand that it like... Barnabas was called an encourager. He was that has a hint of that in there. But I don't really want you to see that it says that He, notice that He may abide with you forever. That's not impersonal. That's not an impersonal force. That He, so He treats Him not as a person, not a force. And when He calls Him another Counselor, I just noticed that. He said, "And shall give you another Comforter," or another Counselor. He means He will be a Counselor like me. He'll be a Comforter like me. Jesus is saying, "I'm a Comforter, I'm a Counselor, and I'm going to give you another one, and He's like me." The Holy Spirit is a counselor like Jesus is. He's a person. He is a person. Verse 17, it says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." We see all that language about the Spirit of truth and the he language there in this passage of Scripture. He said, you know him. Again in verse 25, "These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, verse 26, "but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." So we see this. He said, I've spoken to it. Jesus virtually identifies the Spirit with himself. "I am with you and will be in you" is the same as saying, "I am with you and the Spirit will be in you." You know me, now flesh and blood, Son of God. You will know me soon through the Spirit who has been given you. So the Spirit of the Lord is key for us to understand, is a person. He's the real deal. And we're not to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you, there's some people you might need to be afraid of. No, not really, but I'm just saying that's the concern, is sometimes how people approach things. But what I'm telling you is, as the body of Christ tonight, the person of the Holy Spirit desires to comfort you and help you and to uphold you. He wants to work in us and through us. You know, just like when you go to pray, you know, Jesus said, "Pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Have you ever felt yourself going, "Jesus, help me"? Have you ever said that? That's not wrong to say that. It also would not be wrong to say, "Holy Spirit, I need you. I need your power to flood through me now. It's not wrong to read the Bible. Listen, the Bible, right here we just read where he is, he shall teach you all things. Verse 26. And so you could be, it's not wrong to pray and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me to understand this passage right here. I need your help. What I'm getting at here, we're in a spiritual warfare. And we see it all around us in our days and in the days in which we live, even more so as days go on. But I want to tell you, God's meant for you to live in victory and for me to live in victory, for the church to be victorious. But I want to tell you, in doing that, we cannot ignore the Holy Spirit. Does this make sense tonight? We cannot ignore the workings of the Holy Spirit in our life. There's too much. Jesus said too much about the Holy Spirit. Just like you and I don't understand everything about God, do we? Have you got everything about God figured out? I just want you, if you have, raise your hand. No, but we don't talk about God because we don't understand everything about God. Have we absolutely mastered every single thing that the Word of God teaches us about Jesus in all of His ways and all of the marvelous things that He's done? Do we have every single thing mastered? Are we still growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which Peter said we were to do? But just because we don't just say, "Well, I'm not going to talk to him then. I'm not going to." No. Same thing. Just because we may not grasp or understand every detail of what is taught us in the Word, but I want to tell you, don't ignore the Holy Spirit. He desires to help you and strengthen you and to hold you up. And I pray that if nothing else tonight, that resonates within you. Because I want all the help God can give me, you know. And he desires that you be victorious. Tell the person next to you, you might have to holler in here. He wants you to have victory in this life. Just tell him. Just tell him. Somebody's going to have to yell it. I'm telling you, some of you just sitting way off. Vicente, nobody heard you. No. It will make a great deal of difference in our life if we will believe that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit inside of us as a believer. It'll make a big difference. And not only that, I believe that not only do we have the indwelling Holy Spirit as believers, but I believe he desires to empower us. That's why to believers in the book of Ephesians, Paul said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So not only do we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and our inheritance in Christ is sealed by the Holy Spirit when we believed upon him and when we followed him, but he also wants to empower us. And there are many fillings where he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's something we should pray all the time. Again and again, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, those things that I don't understand in the New Testament, help me to understand them. Help me to desire to be empowered and used by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, the giftings of the Holy Spirit and all the manifestational gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I want you to use me in every way possible, God. I don't want to just to be so afraid of what I've seen out here in the world that I miss out in my days as a believer on what you want for me through your Holy Spirit. Through your Holy Spirit. Listen, I just want to tell you that we need that empowerment in our life. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when you read in the New Testament, and it talks about tongues and interpretation of tongues, when you read in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14, 12, and 14, and you're reading those things, and it's talking about tongues, interpretation of tongues, and word of knowledge, and discernment, and a gift of faith, and I'm missing a few. But my point being is, don't just put that aside because you don't understand it. But read and say, Holy Spirit, help me understand it. Help me understand your word. And I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. So it's going to make a great deal of difference in our life. Great deal. So I want you to see the second and really last essential thing I want to say. It's simple as this, and I've really already said it. The Holy Spirit is in the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is God as well. Jesus, the Father is God, Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. They're all one, but they're distinct, separate. That's what we call the Trinity. Again, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. You can go to a concordance, you'll never find the word Trinity in the Bible. So when somebody comes along that don't believe in the Trinity and they say, well, it's not in the Bible. Well, the word Bible's not in the Bible. So, but we believe the Bible. Well, but what is in the Scriptures is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is in the Bible, and I preached it a few weeks ago from Isaiah chapter 6, after Isaiah had encountered God high and lifted up, and after God, he encountered the holiness of God and realized that he had unclean lips in light of how holy God is. And the people that he dwelt with had unclean lips because of the holiness of God. And then it didn't stop there. He was experiencing change, and he said, and this is what God said: "Who will go for us?" Capital U, S. When you read about around verse 7 or 8 of Isaiah 6, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me. Hear my son, me." But we see that us, and these are just highlights and very ones that are popular to most people. But when we read in the book of John, we see where John the Baptist, who had come to prepare the way of the Lord, they were asking him about what was he doing out there, baptizing people. The Pharisees were asking him. He was preparing the way of the Lord. But there came a day where he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." It was Jesus he was talking about. Jesus came to him and wanted to be baptized by John. John was like, I'm not worthy to baptize you. You're the Lamb of God. That's what he was saying to him. But when he was baptized, you remember what happened. Jesus was baptized. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. And the Father spoke out of heaven, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." We had them all right there. But they're all working and moving together. And so they're in unity. The Godhead is in unity, working together. And you say, well, that is mind-boggling. Sure it is. But I'll never forget this. 20 years old, I'm pastoring a church in Anderson, South Carolina. Listen, if you've ever needed God in your life, it's when you're 20 years old pastoring a church. Wasn't but 10 people when I went there. Do you know what I learned? They were God's sheep, all 10 of them. But there's been a lot of change on that road. This church property overlooked Clemson Highway in Anderson. At that time, they wasn't. It's grown up so much now, I can't even recognize it hardly. You that go up there, that direction. But I'll never forget, because all the light, it wasn't all lit up like it is now. But I remember going out from the church. There was kind of woods on each side of the church property. And I walked out, which was faced toward Clemson Highway, and it was so dark. The sky was so dark. And I stood out there desperate for a move of God in my own life and to help me. But I also remember that night, the sky was so dark, I could see the stars, and everything was so brilliant. No street lights to hinder where I was looking. And I just began to think about God in those moments. And it was blowing my mind. I started thinking about God and His splendor and His wonder. And little old me, how that God was mindful of me. Well, y'all, I didn't have God figured out. Except the fact I had a word. And His word was that He was mindful of me. I can't grasp the majesty of God, the power of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the judgment of God. I know that it's all real. I know that it's all true, but I can't grasp it. Likewise, I can't grasp all that Jesus is, but He's allowing me to grow in that knowledge of Him through His Word and grow spiritually day by day. And I cannot ignore Him because I can't figure it out. And we cannot ignore the Holy Spirit because we don't have it all figured out. I've said it every which way I know to say it. Let's go home. Let's quit. Seriously, let's stand together. I think the point was made, and I want to tell you, we got a comforter. We got a helper tonight. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful tonight. I want us to pray specifically in a certain way this evening. First of all, I just want us to thank God tonight for the Holy Spirit. Certainly, we're thanking Him for Jesus, our Savior. But because we're learning tonight in this environment too, I want us to thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because He indwells us because of Jesus. I want to tell you something. You can't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit apart from Jesus. People can't just say, well, I'm just going to serve the Father. I'm just going to serve Jesus, but I don't want no part of the whole. No. They're one. I want us to just take just a few seconds. And would you just lift your hands toward heaven and just in a few words, just in your own way, thank God for the Holy Spirit that He dwells within you. Would you just do that? Just say, Lord, thank You, God, for the Holy Spirit that indwells within me. Thank You, God. Thank You that I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to thank You, God, that You're sealing me until that day, God. When for eternity's sake, God, You have sealed me, Lord, and I just receive, Lord, in my knowledge tonight, God, the beautiful work of the person of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to understand more and more. Amen. Now I want us just to pray this here lastly. Would you just say, Holy Spirit, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, in the name of Jesus, if you lift your hands toward heaven, say, God, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to be empowered by Your Holy Spirit. There's a world in which we live in, Lord, that is dark and seems to get darker by the day. But God, Your light shines bright. And I want to thank You for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And I need You to work in and through my life. So Lord, even as the Apostle Paul preached it, and said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask You right now to fill us with the Holy Spirit, Lord, dear Father. I pray, Lord, that You would stir within us and move within us, God, that spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, would abound and grow within our life, which is the character of Christ. May the fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that we would look more and more like Jesus day by day through the work and moving of the Holy Spirit in our life. And Lord, I pray for that power, God, in our life. May You manifest, Lord, the gifts of the Spirit in our life and open our eyes to see the wonderful things of the person of the Holy Spirit and how He desires to use us in this world to make a difference for the cause of Jesus Christ, God. Help us, Lord, to discover our purpose and make a difference, Lord, in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage. by going to christianheritagechurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.